to the Board of Supervisors meeting, June the 12th, 2018. Is there any changes?
I have none.
I have none.
Okay, and I have none. We shall meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry, John?
Good morning.
County Auditor?
Finishing up the primary election. Other than that, nothing else to report at this time.
You go pretty smooth this year for you?
Yeah, once we got past the little technology problem in the morning, everything else went fine, so.
I know when I went to vote, they was pleased with the new laptops that they were using.
Yeah, 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 those have been helpful, because the other ones, we start to have a few issues with those, but, well, they were 9 years old, so that's old for a laptop.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Chris Pogomiller, County Health Nurse?
Good morning. Yep, we're still keeping busy at Public Health, still finalizing some of our grants for the year. We are finally fully staffed. I brought Ronald Lee, he's our new Public Health Nurse. Just started this week, so that makes us fully staffed. And then we have a work session following on electronic smoking devices.
Welcome aboard, Ronald.
Thank you.
Rodney, the maintenance?
Good morning. Just have a couple of agenda items.
Okay. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. One quick note, the dust control program got wrapped up last night, so that is done and treated. And one other thing to pay close attention to if you drive in the area is they now have construction lights up on Flint Bottom Road, so that the construction traffic can cross Flint Bottom and side traffic off the stop, or vice versa. They'll have to wait on Flint Bottom traffic. So I'll be curious to see how that works, because those lights are fairly close to the intersection of 61. I guess heads up on that. It's just another sign of construction, but that is there, and if somebody's not paying attention, it could catch them off guard, so.
Well, thank you. Angie Bond, how's the safety department?
Good morning. We're doing good. I really don't have anything new to report today, so.
Thank you. Chris Lee, Conservation?
Busy. Another big weekend. We were completely full, Big Hollow. We've been turning away an average of 8 to 12 campers away every weekend. We have that many people showing up Friday afternoons wanting to get a spot, and we're already full. And so just trying to stay on top of things with all of that and keep things moving. Otherwise, keeping on.
Jeff, how's the Sheriff's Department?
Busier than we want to be.
Yeah.
We have an agenda item, and then we have a work session afterwards, too.
Okay. Kevin, you want to add anything to that?
These guys are holding it down well. They're doing great.
Good. Ken, how's the mental health doing?
Going well. We have our sealed regional meetings tomorrow in Mount Pleasant at the Emergency Management Building, and we'll probably get half of our contract approved tomorrow, and then in our July meeting, we'll finish up getting the rest of our contracts for the region done. So just a lot of contracting, a lot of work going on right now.
How's it feel to have an empty nest?
Yeah, I got my daughter married off this weekend, and she's on her honeymoon, and it's really different, you know, having an only child leave home. That'll take some adjusting. We're very happy with the person she chose to be her husband, and we wish them the best. Had a church full of people Saturday, so.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Thanks.
You're not that old, maybe you could have another one. You didn't have an empty nest.
I don't think so.
Just threw that out there. Problem solving.
I got one I'll loan you.
Zach, how's the Southeast Iowa Regional Planning Board?
Pretty good. I was gone all last week, so I was playing catch up yesterday, and probably the rest of this week for that matter. But things have been a little bit slower on the land use side, which has been good. Been able to catch up on some things. Biggest thing is we'll have a preliminary plat coming. We'll be sending things out to staff for review, and you guys for review on that probably sometime this week. we talked to the person and received a preliminary plat probably about 3-4 weeks ago, but we asked them to have some changes made, so we got that at the end of last week, and so we'll be sending that out to staff, and I'll probably come to you guys sometime in July for approval if everything looks good.
Okay.
Otherwise,
everything's good.
Everything else is
good. That's good.
Yeah.
Seeing no correspondence, do you gentlemen have any correspondence?
I do not.
I don't.
Move on for public input session number one. Anybody from the public have anything to say? Please rise, state your name.
Paul Beckman, Spring, Iowa. I have a concern about overhanging trees in our roadways. I took some photos. And we have these dead trees that are overhanging our roads. And I've worked in timber for all my life, and I know dead trees and limbs fall down. And I would really hate to see a 500-pound limb fall in the windshield of a car, especially my grandchildren and daughter and son-in-law who travel that road a lot, well, back to their home. And I just, what can we do? Or, you know, some of these dead trees are actually hanging over the road, and they're going to come down. You know, I know they're full of termites and insects, and it's not necessarily going to take a windstorm because there's nothing there to blow, but it's if they're going to randomly fall. And I just, you know, we had a...
What road did you say it was on?
Those were taking you on Stony Hollow on 180th.
Okay.
And we had an accident there and a death with ice on 180th several years ago, high school friend of mine, and things happen. And I just really concerned about these overhanging trees. And I talked to Brian about it, but, you know, some are on public roadways and some are on private land. But, you know, I just think maybe something should be done. So I want to state that and look into that, whatever we can do.
Brian, most of these are, part of them are on private land or public land or some on each or...
Well, what I'll do is I'll have the surveyor take a look and see. One of them looks to be on private ground, just from the picture. But Paul and I talked about these, I think, maybe last year. And we didn't do much tree cutting this winter. We were just enough small snows that we spent more time plowing snow than we did anything. But we'll take a look at them. If they're on private property, sometimes we'll contact the landowner and give them a heads up. We'll certainly deal with it if it falls towards the road, but we don't typically go on to private property. If we're in the area, if something works out, maybe, but beyond that, we normally don't. If it's on the county right-of-way side of it, and it fits into, again, rarely do we do trees during the summer, but fits in, then we can put it on our list of trees to do. Like these, some of these are tall enough, you'd probably end up closing the road to be able to do it. And sometimes we get landowners that call us about trees that they want to take down, and if we can work with them, you know, if we can put signs up because the only option they have is to fall towards the road or something like that, we'll try to work with them. So I'll take a look at these locations, and if I can't identify exactly where that, Paul's going to give me a map so I'm to make sure I'm looking at the right trees, because he knows exactly where they're at. When I go drive a road, I don't necessarily see the same thing he sees, so if I don't find them, I'll get a hold of Paul, but we'll at least identify which side of the right-of-way they're on, and that's kind of a starting spot we do. When they're near that line, that's a very serious line that we identify and figure out where it's at. So,
Can you get back after you've had a chance to take a look at it? Okay.
As I said, if there could be something in ordinance or something, I think it needs to be addressed. All right.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
I'll give you a call.
Yes.
I'll give you.
I have a little input. I live on Sullivan Slough. My name is Kenny Max. And you guys buy a tag here and all this. As far as ATVs on public roads, in my opinion, I think from daylight to dark is okay. But we've had a lot of problems at night. And if you call the sheriff, you know, they usually respond as quick as they can. But when they go down the road, they might not come back up for 2 or 3 hours, and they're, you know, back and forth, they're up all night. And in my opinion, they should be made to have insurance. They should have all the safety regulations everybody else has to have. But as far as letting them run in the dark, I disagree with that. Daylight to dark.
Thanks for your input on that, Kenny.
Thank you.
We're still working on that. I think the sheriff's department is still working on that too. And we've got several other resolutions for other counties. We're trying to work and take the best part out of each one of them and put in ours. And so, but we'll take that into consideration.
Appreciate it. I can sleep at night.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else in public have anything to say? Seeing nobody rise, we shall move on for discussion and vote. We have a resolution to appoint Southeast Iowa Regional Planning revolving loan review member. It says the resolution is, whereas Des Moines County has appointed to the Southeast Iowa Regional Planning Commission revolving loan plan, loan review committee, and whereas the current LRC member Rob Briston has expressed interest in continuing his service, now therefore be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors hereby nominate Rob, is that pronounced that right?
Richardson.
Briston, yeah, to serve on the Southeast Iowa Regional Planning Commission and loan review committee with a term to expire December 31st, 2020.
The letter, I think, came with that. He's been on that committee since the inception, and they'd hate to lose him. He's willing to serve another term, so I would make a motion that we appoint Mr. Ripson.
Second. Terry?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
I gave you the report last week. If anybody needs those prices again, I have a couple extra sheets from last week. Otherwise, I would recommend approval.
Second. Make the motion.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Do these have to be in blue?
No, you can do whatever you want. This is a local contract.
Stamp?
So, yep, that's fine. Terry, I'll leave one with you, and I'll just take two with me, and we'll send the contractors back to them. So you'll have an original, and that way you won't have to wait for one.
These are the lease agreements for the residential care facility and crisis stabilization building out at 910 Cottonwood. The lease agreements are basically the exact same as they have been the last 3 or 4 years. The only change was the change of the date, made a small change in the rules, building rules number 12, where it said tenant cannot carry or have firearms on the premises or in the building. We changed that to tenants or visitors. for that part of it. Other than that, everything's the same. Sent them to Bob Bartles at Hope Haven there, and he signed it. So just looking to get you guys' approval today for both of those.
Motion to add. We doing both at the same time?
I have a list of them individually.
Motion to approve the one for the Cottonwood Care Facility.
Second.
Perry?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. I'll make a motion to approve the Cottonwood Crisis Stabilization Service.
Second.
Perry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Thanks, Rodney.
Thank you.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Perry?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. The next one is for conservation for Kelly Rundle, for a naturalist. A new hire, $17.69 an hour.
Move to approve.
Second.
Perry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
We have reports from the Veterans Affair and the Sheriff's Office, and these reports will be on file in the Auditor's Office for viewing at your discretion. And I have the minutes for the regular meeting on June 5th, 2018.
Motion approved.
Second.
Perry?
Tom Brokaw?
Aye.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Abstain.
Get the canvas the results of the primary election. That would be Mr. Johnson.
This is the precinct, and this is the summary results. Dance with any? I think since we have to listen to your brother. You should read one.
And he should have read it aloud for a little more.
See how it's going to be. Can I get this handwritten?
I'll take one. We received six more ballots for the absentee. Those were added on. didn't change any of the results, so all the winners will appear on the general election ballot. So there's not a whole lot to report, except for the Secretary of State, when they sent us out all of our instructions for every election, it was on there that the Libertarian Party, that we had to go by, use the total number who voted Libertarian at the last general election, and then any candidates would have to, write-ins or whatever, would have to receive at least 35% of that vote. So I think we only had maybe 20 Libertarian ballots, maybe, something like that. And then they contacted us and said that anybody who got a vote, we had to write that in, because that was more than 5% of the vote for write-ins. So Tom, you are on there for the Libertarian. Because I had to add your name in there, even though you were on the ballot.
Did the Republicans kick me off?
I think you got more votes on the Republican ballot than you did on that one, but. But there was, it's, and it goes through, if you go
so
through
those count for Libertarians being able to be on a ballot?
It will all, I think it all depends on how many Libertarians vote at this next general election, because they reached the threshold at the last general election, so that's why they had their own ballot at this general election, or will have one at this general election. So I imagine it will probably all depend on how many show up and vote, and whether they'll have another ballot. It was a little interesting with three ballots at every precinct. I'm sure Sherry can vouch for that. But she works. Yeah. See, there's very few of them. Yeah, there was a few in there, but not a whole lot.
I'm kind of Libertarian, so.
But, you know, and most of the Libertarian write-ins were people that were on the ballots, on other ballots, that they wanted to vote for somebody else. And of course, Rand Paul got a few votes. So, but.
As what? As I mean, for what office?
Oh, three different offices.
Secretary
we got one.
Of State.
Yeah, Secretary of State. Let's
Auditor?
See. State Auditor. Yeah, probably State Auditor. Yeah, Secretary of State. So yeah, he was written in there for a few of them.
He wasn't on the same ballot, was it?
Oh, it was on the Libertarian ballot.
So,
whether
same
the same person.
Person,
oh, that I couldn't tell you. It just pops up when the tape prints off, so it prints off all of the write-ins.
I heard a discussion on the radio, and quite frankly, I thought the moderator should have been smarter, but they were saying that the process doesn't allow them to vote for the candidate that they want, because they wanted to vote for a Republican over here and a Democrat over here.
Yeah, that's the complaint that we get.
Yeah.
Is people come in and we ask them, and I guess one gentleman was offended that we asked loudly which ballot they wanted, you know, because you have to designate whether you want Democrat, Republican, or the Libertarian ballot. And they felt that they shouldn't have to choose. And we said, well, it's basically a party election. And you have to choose one of those ballots, because each party is narrowing down their candidates so that then we know who's going to be on the general election. And they didn't like that. And one gentleman didn't like that. They asked him out loud what ballot he wanted. But I said, they have to know which ballot to give you.
If you were voting Republican over here and got the guy you wanted, then come over here and vote Democratic and vote for the weakest candidate.
You wouldn't need a primary.
Yeah. So.
So, yep, the winners on all of those, the top vote getters, are the ones that will be on the ballot for this fall.
I've got a question for you. Did we sign every one of them?
The abstract? Yeah.
Every one of these?
There's only 39 in there for you to sign.
It's just him signing it, isn't it?
No, all three of you get the honor.
No.
So yeah, the abstracts are the longest ones, especially when you got the three different parties, because I have to send a copy of those. I have to send those to the Secretary of State's office and one of the reports, because they want original signatures. So while you're talking, you can be signing away. Okay.
Yeah.
So you have any questions about any of the races?
I don't have any. I would move to approve.
Second. I hope I got those in order.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Now, do you want your stamp too?
Yes, approve stamp.
Okay, she didn't give us any instructions with that, she knows.
We'll do that at the end then.
Yeah, we'll do that at the end here. Any other residents from you, gentlemen?
No.
I do, I received a letter from the communication workers, and in accordance with the provision of the current labor agreement between Des Moines County deputies and correctional officers, Des Moines County clerical and custodial and communication workers of America, this letter serves as note or intent to seek certain modifications to the labor agreement. So, what says we gotta contact Bonnie, and so we will do that here later on this morning, contact her and let her know that we did.
Probably have the attorney contact her.
What's that?
Probably have the attorney contact her.
Yeah, we're gonna have Emily, have Emily contact her, so. We'll receive that. That's all I had for other business. Future agenda items.
I have none.
I've been reading in my time off here. I've been doing a lot of reading on these ordinances on these ATVs and UTVs. And there's a couple of them, and I think, aren't you and Mike working on some of them?
A little bit. Matter of fact, he actually sent out, I think, the latest one that he kind of compiled to you guys and to Brian to take a look at, get some feedback on that one.
I ran into him and he gave me one. I think he was, I'm not sure.
I haven't got a copy of it.
He might not have seen you.
Yeah, so. If we're gonna do that, we need to get to jump on it. Well, some of them resolutions, you know, like for Van Buren County and them, it's just a one page thing, and it's basically follows the state law and then deviates a little bit what they can do in the county, so.
I think Mike discussed it at the last meeting, you know, that he was gonna get back to us. Did you left
yeah,
me with the impression, I don't remember, that he was gonna be, wasn't gonna be available for a couple of weeks or?
Yeah, and Jack Dalstein was gonna be gone for several weeks.
Jack Dalstein, he was gonna try to set up a work session after that. Maybe you guys remember, but I think it was a few weeks or something.
Yeah, because I think
you
was
Brian
and Amy to review
yeah.
some of that too.
Okay.
Okay. Winter reports. I attended the county safety committee meeting. We went through the reports. There were some minor accidents, nothing serious, and a continued discussion of the AEDs, defibrillators, and paging systems. And I attended the CIT, the Crisis Intervention Training meeting, committee meeting, and the our coordinator for that crisis intervention training is resigning at the end of June to take another job, I believe, in Johnson County. But the committee's still optimistic that we can meet our goal of starting our own training program the end of October. So. We're hopeful that can still, that's still on the calendar. I believe for October 22nd is when they've scheduled the first training with our own instructors. That's all I have.
I didn't either. Okay, public input station number two. Seeing nobody from Public Rights, we shall move for adjournment.
Wait a minute, I have something I want to say. His hand and his newspaper. I like your history on the flood.
Mm-hmm.
But when I, the image that stands out on my mind on that flood, I lived through that flood every day, Brian did, several others. We went on a road tour when that was completely flooded up there, and we went up on the bridge on the across the big ditch. Mm-hmm. And there's a family up there, Coon's family. There's five of them, I believe. And you could have put your arm around and they're huddled together looking at their house underwater. I'll never forget that. And I'll look over here, there's a windmill over here with water up into the blades. I don't know. I don't ever think you'll ever see anything like that, but what a deal.
Mm-hmm.
What a deal. And it was just a hair from getting the south end too. So, if Illinois hadn't broke, I would expect the south end would have been flooded too. Nasty.
Well, we've got those stories running all week.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. But I that one image, that brings back lots of memories. I'm done.
We'll take a short break and then we have a work session with local health on electronic smoking devices.
Ooh.